Good morning, Black Hills of America. It's Trent Luce with Across the Plains here on News Radio KOTA. That cavalcade of information. And the information here is all about making sure that we maintain a domestic supply of food and fuel for a free future. Interesting news, a lot of attention being placed on South Dakota today because of a stupid comment in a memoir coming out with the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem. I may talk about that in a moment. Talked about it with Andrew Henderson this morning on Across the Pond. I actually also talked about it with Hank Vogler on Rural Route, so it's much talked about. But South Dakota, I love South Dakota. I'm a Great Plains of America guy. I really am. And I remember the first time I came to the Great Plains of America, and it was just like this vast area, and I fell in love. And when I talk about the Great Plains of America, I'm talking about, I don't have anything against Texas. Texas is just getting to be far too crowded. But from Oklahoma, including the eastern prairies of Colorado and Wyoming and all of the, you know, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, all the way to, in fact, Saskatchewan. I love Saskatchewan, that prairie of Canada. And I didn't really think about why it is until I started putting some numbers together today. Because I got to thinking that it's pretty easy in today's world to think about all of the negativity, think about all of the things going wrong. Let's for a moment, because I have people on a daily basis sending me notes about the toxins in the food, the dangers of the food. Well, here's the truth of the matter. We have the cleanest water we've had in the history of the North American continent. We have the best air quality in the history that we've had in the North American continent. We have every aspect of life, which is made available by sweat and toil and struggles of former years, in case you don't know, that's part of the FFA creed, to get us to this point. And it all harkens back to Benjamin Franklin, who said, "We've given you a representative republic. It's up to you to keep it." So aside from that, if we continue to focus, I mean, we're coming off of a weekend where Mother Nature has shown how powerful she can be, with significant damage being done to the Great Plains and lives lost in Oklahoma City, and people still at this moment without electricity in large numbers in Omaha. And I had 6 miles that direction, had a tornado from my house on Friday. And we've had three that have been at this place. Tornadoes are something that are a huge part of this part of the country throughout the course of history. And yet a minute it happens in today's world, somebody thinks that the government manipulated the weather. I'm not disputing in any way, shape, or form that that doesn't happen. But what I am saying is that you can't, every single time something happens, it causes destruction, to say, government did it. Our food is safe. Now, do we need to be concerned? Do we need to pay attention to what is happening to our food supply? Absolutely. Do you need to know who your local producers are and where to get the food supply and do a better job, not just taking for granted that food's going to be available in the grocery stores? Absolutely. But let's just focus on the flyover region. As a reminder, I'll get this book. I wanted to get it off the shelf from underneath my Bible. This book has more details. It's called The Encyclopedia of the Great Plains. And it is just catalogs, large volumes of information and data through the development of the Great Plains of America. And for the days that we think that we've got problems, that we think that the weather is just unsurmountable, go read The Encyclopedia of the Great Plains. It'll tell you how tough and how resilient the pioneers of the Great Plains truly were. it will tell you on those days where the wind is blowing and you don't want to go outside because wind is just ferocious and it's coming from the northeast and then it comes from the southwest and then it comes from the south. You could be in a log cabin with no electricity. And the number of women back in the day who actually had issues with the wind and went mad because of the wind, the constant wind. We have found a way to make all of that bearable. Now back to the Great Plains of America and my love affair with the Great Plains of America. I never thought about it in this context. I've had pigs my entire life. I owned a pig when I was 4 years old and I virtually owned a pig ever since. By the time I was a teenager, we had some cattle and we never were big in the cattle business. But then in 1991, started getting into the cattle business and at one point in time owned 300 cows. Cows are amazing. Cows are God's greatest creation after mankind. Because cows literally take that cellulose material that has no other valuable purpose in life other than fire. If you don't have a livestock grazing cellulose material, you get fire. And then you see Mother Nature at her finest, which, by the way, is the largest emitter of emissions on Earth, right there along with volcanoes. But the cow has a stomach with four chambers and takes what 74% of the world's landmass has to offer that can never grow a crop to feed a person, but yet will take that cellulose material, upcycle it into the most nutrient-dense food substance on the planet. At one point in time, this nation, prior to the Civil War, was all about pigs. In fact, Cincinnati was named Porkopolis because it was pigs, and pork barrel politics comes about because it's the oldest thing that we had in this nation where we take a pig and put it in a barrel in 6 minutes. You go look at some of the old New York butchers and they could butcher a pig and have it in a barrel in 6 minutes. Now, they didn't butcher a pig like we do today. They basically took the sides and they broke it down into four parts, boom, put it in a barrel. 6 minutes later, they're on to the next one. Civil War changed all of that. Civil War was a terrible time, 4+ years in the United States, families fighting families. When people talk today about we're on the brink of another Civil War, I don't think you really know what that means if you embrace that in any way, shape, or form. But let's talk about the positives. As a direct result of the Civil War, at the end of the Civil War in 1865, vaqueros, cowboys, 14 to 16 year old kids, one in four of them, by the way, freed black slaves, were rounding up wild feral cattle in Texas, brought them north to Abilene, Kansas, where Joseph McCoy cut a deal with the railroad. Everything's about cutting a deal with somebody. He cut a deal with the railroad to pay $4 a head for these cattle coming north up the Chisholm, what's now we call the Chisholm Trail. Put them on a rail car, send them into Illinois, get them to Chicago, to the meatpacking plants, and then send the meat to the east where they were trying to rebuild this nation. Cows literally rebuilt the United States of America. And so why is it in today's world the cow is continually demonized? Because the cow is a symbolism of independence, liberty, and freedom. The cow gives us everything we could possibly need. Which brings me to the Great Plains of America. Did you know that there are only 9 states in the United States that actually have more cows than people? Those 9 states would include Oklahoma, Montana, Iowa, Idaho, and Kansas. Those are the 5 of the 9 states that have more cows than people. But my home being Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, we have many more than just more cows per people. In fact, it's North Dakota coming in at 2.24 cows per person with 1.7 million cows, a population of 780,000. Wyoming has 2.15 cows per person. The issue there is that Wyoming only has 576,000 people, but it's Wyoming is a cow-calf state. In other words, there are not many feed yards in Wyoming, so the number of cattle is at 1.2 million. The two states that are left, Nebraska actually is second, not first, at 3.3 cows per person. The significant part of Nebraska was 6.5 million head of cattle. By far the beef state in the nation. Yeah, Texas, this is what you're going to have to deal with. But we have nearly 2 million people, thanks to a couple of counties in the eastern half of the state, Omaha and Lincoln. We have three counties, Sarpy, Douglas, Lancaster, that possess 60% of the population. So we have 1.9 million people, 6.5 million cows, but it's the state of South Dakota that truly shines at four cows per person. State of South Dakota has a tremendous cow-calf population. State of South Dakota has some cattle on feed. State of South Dakota has 3.5 million head of cattle and 877,000 people. Yeah, you can see that I tend to like to be in the areas where there's four times more cows than people. But let's truly put that into context. It's not just about the cows that are there. Because you see, most people come to, let's just say, Keystone, South Dakota, and they want to see Mount Rushmore and look at those four faces up there in the stone. And they get on the interstate at Sioux Falls and they drive across the Interstate 90 and they see nothing. They see nothing until they get to Rapid City. And then they go to Mount Rushmore and there's something. People drive through Nebraska or Kansas all the time. And if you talk to them, they say, oh, there's nothing out there. That's the beauty of the nothingness. Thanks to the people who tend to the land, thanks to the people who care for God's creation, this nothingness in the Great Plains of America is actually upcycled into the greatest resources you could possibly have. Because I could talk all day and night about the beef and the dense protein substance that's unparalleled by anything else that a cow generates. But the cow also generates life-saving medicines that are used in hospitals all across this country, like Throblin, the one product that is an amino acid that actually promotes coagulation within the blood and prevents a patient from bleeding out while on the table. What about insulin? One of the first products from animals that helped people with diabetes. What about leather? What about the endless list of byproducts that improve our lives? What about these little gadgets that we've all become so addicted to? These cell phones, which have components of acid in them as well, amino acids from cows that hold the components together. You see, so it's the nothingness of the Great Plains of America and the people, the few number of people that take care of the resources that improve life day after day. So as much as we want to focus on all of the policymakers and all of the attacks on our way of life and our liberty and our individual freedoms, going about the daily work, putting a dog in a pickup, and taking it out to work cattle on a good day horseback is all we really want to do. We just want to continue to take care of our property so that we can improve lives at home and abroad. We have to fight to continue to do that. That's the part of the story we don't like. Across the Plains, Trent Luce, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more after this.